Chapter 26. Everyone was scrambling for shelter. From his perch on the rim of the abyss, Luke could see hundreds of Faroans massed at the mouths of the tunnels below, the combined light of dozens of glow sticks creating halos around each entrance. Through Magister Jabitha, C-Code had issued the alert that the planet was preparing to make a final jump to hyperspace. Luke could feel Zonama shuddering as the core hyperdrives heated up. He could sense the tension and uncertainty in the Boris, the seed partners, the myriad creatures the vast Tom Posse supported. He looked into the night sky. For no reason he could fathom, each jump seemed to have brought him closer to a familiarity that had nothing to do with star systems or planets. Even in the most remote realms of the unknown regions, his connection with the Force had never faltered. But with the previous jump, he had begun to hear the whispers of his fellow Jedi, and their urgency told him that it was critical that he, Mara, and the others return. If the imminent jump didn't succeed, or if it should leave Zonama far from where Luke wanted the planet to emerge, then he would do as Mara had wished and make use of Jade Shadow. He felt Jason approach from behind him, but didn't turn from the view. "Something has happened," he said finally.
"I feel it, Uncle Luke," Jason said. "The Jedi are friends."
"It's not only them. The danger is widespread." Jason came alongside him. A gust of wind tugged at the cowl of his robe.
"Another Ithor? Another Barib One?"
"Not yet," Luke said. "But a new evil has been unleashed."
"By the Yuuzhan Vong?"
"By the dark side." Jason nodded.
"Your real enemy."
Luke turned to him.
"You should be thinking about your own course, Jason, not mine."
Jason exhaled with purpose.
"I have no one but you to look to know which path I should take. Our courses are entangled."
"Then I guess I'd better listen to what you've decided about me." Jason took a moment to collect his thoughts.
"From everything you've told me over the years about confronting your father and the Emperor, it has always seemed to me that neither of them was your real enemy. Each tried to entice you to join him, but they were never the source of your fear. You feared falling to the dark side."
Luke grinned faintly. "Is that all?" he said finally. Jason shook his head.
"On Coruscant, at the ruins of the Jedi Temple, Vergeer said that the Jedi had a shameful secret, and that secret was that there is no dark side. The Force is one, and since there are no separate sides, the Force can't take sides. Our notions of light and dark only reflect how little we know about the true nature of the Force. What we've chosen to call the dark side is simply the raw, unrestrained Force itself, which gives rise to life as easily as it brings death and destruction."
Luke listened closely.
"Now I shall show you the true nature of the Force," the Emperor had told him at Endor.
On Mon Calamari, Vergeer had tried to lead him down the same path, by implying that Yoda and Obi-Wan were to blame for not telling him the truth about the dark side. As a result of their neglect, when Luke had cut off his father's hand in anger, he assumed he had had a close brush with the dark side. When he stood at the side of the cloned Emperor, he had truly felt the dark side. Ever since, he had come to equate anger with darkness itself, and he had passed that along to the Jedi he had tutored. But in fact, according to Vergeer, Luke had been misguided by his own ego. She had maintained that, while darkness could remain in someone by invitation, it could just as easily be jettisoned by self-awareness. Once Luke accepted this, he would no longer have to fear being seduced by the dark side.
"You're suggesting that I've held myself back by not wanting to incorporate this raw power into my awareness of the Force," Luke said.
"Vergeer received years of formal training in the Force," Jason said.
"The things she told me must have been common knowledge among the Jedi of the Old Republic." Verger was corrupted by the years she spent living among the Yuuzhan Vong, Luke said evenly. Corrupted? Maybe that's too strong a term. Let's say strongly influenced. But she felt she hadn't been influenced by them. She can't be blamed. Each of us stands at a kind of midpoint from which we're capable of seeing only so far in either direction. Our senses have been honed over countless millennia to allow us to navigate the intricacies of the physical world. But because of that, our senses blind us to the fact that we are much more than our bodies. We truly are beings of light, Jason. The emphasis the Jedi have always placed on control operates the same way. Control blinds us to the more expansive nature of the Force. The Jedi of the Old Republic wanted only youngsters for this reason. Jedi needed to be raised in the light, and to come to see that light as unblemished, undivided. But you and I haven't had the luxury of that indoctrination. Our lives are a constant test of our will to exorcise any darkness that creeps in. In that sense, your instincts about me are correct, and so were Verger's. The dark side has, in a sense, dominated my life. I've suspected for a long time that the fatigue I've sometimes experienced when drawing on the Force during combat owes to my fear of abusing the raw power you describe. It's true that the Force is unified. It is one energy, one power. But here's where I think you and Verger are incorrect. The dark side is real, because evil actions are real. Sentience gave rise to the dark side. Does it exist in nature? No. Left to itself, nature maintains the balance. But we've changed that. We are a new order of consciousness that has an impact on all life. The Force now contains light and dark because of what thinking beings have brought to it. That's why balance has become something that must be maintained, because our actions have the power to tip the scales. As the Sith did, Jason said. As the Sith did. The Emperor was perhaps the most self-assured person I have ever encountered, but he deliberately chose evil over good. And in the right climate, one individual, suitably driven and skilled, can tip the universe into darkness. For darkness has followers, especially where discontent, isolation, or fear hold sway. In such a climate, enemies can be fashioned, imagined out of thin air, and suddenly all good is lost, all perspective vanishes, and illness takes hold. Luke paused, then said, Do you believe that you spoke with Verger after her death at EBAC 9? Or were you conversing with the Verger who existed only in your thoughts and memory? Jason thought for a moment. I spoke with Verger. I am certain of it. Do you believe I had a vision of Obi-Wan, Yoda, and my father after all three had died? I've never had any reason to doubt you, Uncle. Then from where was Verger speaking? Maybe she learned to tap into a power that was more all-embracing than the living Force. The unifying Force, Luke said. That might explain it. In fact, all the years since the deaths of Obi-Wan, Yoda, and my father, I've felt as if the Jedi have been on a quest to recover the Force's power to glimpse the future, which is perhaps the nature of the unifying Force. The search has not been unlike our search for Zonama Seacoat. And there's a power here in the air and the trees and everything else that convinces me we've found our way to something even greater than what we were seeking. I feel that too. Jason looked at Luke. I told Seacoat about your plan. Luke was surprised. You spoke with Seacoat in private? In the form of Verger, yes. And? Seacoat thinks it can be done. Seacoat also asked to speak with Danny about Yamask jammers and decoy Dovin basils. Luke nodded in satisfaction. That's good, but it's important to remember that battles are not always decided by warships or other weapons. The important battles are won in the Force. He gestured broadly to the abyss and the starfield. All this will pass away, but the Force endures. We tap its power, and if we so choose, it moves us according to designs we will never be able to understand. Abruptly, Luke turned around. Jason followed his lead and saw Mara standing silently behind them. Unless you two are planning to ride out the next jump on the wing, I suggest you get to the shelters. We were just on our way, Luke said. This could be the last peaceful stretch we'll know for a long while.